In the name of Jesus, my dear fellow redeemed sisters and brothers in Christ, what's going on? Man, we're living in such crazy times. What's going on? I mean, if the hurricanes weren't enough, there were the fires out west. Man, if that's not enough, there was the mass murder shooting spree that took place in Las Vegas and then Sutherland, Texas. What's going on? Gosh, an earthquake in Delaware? What's going on with all this? We live in crazy times. But for us as Christians, we know what's going on. Now, more than just a liturgical season, more than a liturgical step along the way, more than something on the wall in the sacristy, the church here reminds us of some profound truths. And as we begin a brand new year with the season of Advent, we understand that sooner or later, Christ will come back, and that all that's going on are just reminders for us to be ready, to be awake, to understand that it's more than just physical disaster, physical things going on, it's spiritual. And so our meditation is titled, Understanding the Signs of the Times. I mean, Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he says this about the bottom line of this. He says, now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. Sooner or later, the Lord will come back, and all the turbulence that we see that remind us what's going on, it's leading us up to the day of judgment where Christ will come back. And no one will escape. That's the truth. No one will escape. Writing to the young evangelist Timothy, Paul says it this way. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, this is like a technical term. I haven't forgotten basics class that I've got an assignment that I haven't done yet, but be kind of fun to do a Bible study sermon on the last days. It's actually a technical term. Paul says here in 1 Timothy 4, in the last times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Latter times, people will fall away. They'll give up. They'll reject God and His grace. And they'll turn a lot of stuff into religion, but it's not the faith. Paul says, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God in prayer. Boy, it makes you want to pray for everything. Because it's through the word of God in prayer that things are received in good ways. That's another problem with Christians. The longer they're Christians, they forget to say their prayers. They're not fervent prayers. And if there's anything that we must understand about the signs of the times, is that we need to be people of prayer and understand what's going on. Paul says it this way in 2 Timothy, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure. See any of this? Rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. So there are plenty of people that hold to a form of godliness, but deny its power. They don't believe in the forgiveness of sins. They don't share the forgiveness of sins. They don't call upon the Lord. They don't show mercy and patience and kindness to others. Avoid such. They're just fake. Plenty of this going on in our day and our time. And this is part of Advent, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's kind of this downer pastor presentation of the doom and the gloom and the challenges. And does anybody really need to be reminded that it's a challenge? Anybody? No, but it is a challenge. It's not easy. But we need to remember this truth, to understand the signs of the times and then what it means. The good news for us is that everything necessary for us to be ready for Jesus to return has been done. We sang it in the song just before the sermon. Our debt has been paid. I love that. Love to hear that. And because our debt has been paid, we have our tickets to paradise. Jesus paid them. And so we are free now, and his love will never fail. And that's the thing that we can live out and fall on and stand back up on, knowing that everything necessary for us to be accepted by God has been done by Christ. Why? Because this is cool. Long ago, at many times and in many places, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So God's final word to you, God's final word to me is Jesus. Boy, that's a good word to stop on, to stand on, to fall on, to trust in. And as we trust in what Christ has done for us, we can live out our lives. If anybody can embrace life and give thanks and trust that whatever God is giving our way can be sanctified and used to God's purposes, if anyone can really live life now, it should be Christians. Understanding what God has given to us through his Son. But boy, this is only a taste of what life really is. And we also know that. And as much as we celebrate the first advent of Jesus and what he's done, we also know that when he comes back, he'll usher in something unlike we've never seen. And really, in so many ways, cannot even grasp. Because forever is a long time. But forever free of sin, death, and the power of the devil sounds mighty good. The longer we live in this world. And so Jesus tells us today how to look at what's going on around us and what it means for us. And I thought it'd be fitting just to go through the gospel of Mark, the whole 13th chapter. So check this out. This is very interesting. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. They like their church. That was a great building." And then the downer rabbi, or the put a wet blanket on the enthusiasm pastor, says this. I mean, you kind of wonder, what did Jesus, did he have a smile when he said this, or was he just straight-faced? Well, how did he respond? You know, they say, "Oh, isn't this a beautiful building?" And he says, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Oh, that's great news. "Sorry I brought it up, Jesus," right? Boy, keep in mind, this was like the center of their religious life. And Jesus speaks this way about it. No doubt it rang around in their heads for quite some time. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, you know, they're not going to ask for something out loud again. I mean, Jesus said it to everybody, and everybody that was in earshot heard it. Now they're being a little more careful with the pastor. You know, privately, let's talk about this now. Tell us, when would these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? So he's got them hooked. They've got to figure this out. They've got to learn. And so Jesus goes on. And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he.' And they will lead many astray." How many people have showed up claiming to be the Messiah? How many are on their way? God only knows. "And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars," have you heard of wars and rumors of wars? "Don't be alarmed. So how do we handle the signs of the times? By not being alarmed by them. It's interesting, when you learn Greek, you find out about these Greek tools that are, you know, you don't get them unless you study things linguistically, but this is all a present general condition. In other words, these things happen all the time. And Jesus is saying to us and to all who hear and heed him, don't be alarmed. Yeah. And you know, when you hear about it at work, oh, do you hear what's happening with North Korea? Yeah, well, you know, this is just part of this world. I'm going to trust in the Lord. This must take place. So Jesus explains, this is what it's going to be. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard. So when you are struck by the signs of the times, when you're saying, what's going on here? Be on guard. Lord, I'm going to stay close to you. And if you are alarmed, admit it. Say, Lord, I'm alarmed. This is stressing me out. But I'm trusting in you. I'm staying close to you. For they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. These places of trust, places where you have entrusted trust, are no longer going to be places where you can trust what's going on. And you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all the nations. So there are going to be places in your life and my life where we're going to bear testimony, and it's going to be under scrutiny, and we're going to be just wondering what's going on. But keep in mind, Jesus says the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. God's going to get his work done before the end. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. So when you're being scrutinized, when you're being prevailed upon in an aggressive way, trust that the Holy Spirit will move you in what you say. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. Oh, what a sad report it is when you hear these kinds of things. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. In a way, Jesus is saying, look, this is just the way it is. But endure to the end. In a way, every time we gather together, you know, sometimes, you know, we gather here battered and smashed. We're barely breathing. We're barely a little gospel light of the Lord's. And in a way, every time we gather, we're here to be strengthened again, to be blessed by the Lord in his word. And that's why we ask the devil, the Lord, to keep the devil from snatching his word away. In a way, every Bible study, every devotion is to be encouraged so that we can endure, so that we can be, be soldiers fighting the good fight of faith to the very end. There are times in your life and my life where we need to be encouraged by one another. We have a Stephen Ministry program where basically we have Stephen ministers who are to encourage people going through difficult things where it's going to be hard for them to endure to the end. And really, in your Christian friendships, it's all about encouraging each other to keep on keeping on to the very end. There's a place in your life and my life where we have to say, yeah, boy, it's a challenge. Pray for me. I don't want to give up, but boy, throwing in the towel at times looks awfully appealing. But I want to endure. That's what it's about. Now, in chapter 13 of Mark's gospel, Jesus is talking about some big picture things. And here he talks about something that took place already. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down, nor enter his house to take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it may not happen in winter. For in those days there will be such tribulation as not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would have been saved. This is the destruction of Jerusalem, 70 AD. And the nation was destroyed. It was gone. And then the nation Israel was established in 1948 again. God's word is truth. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. And if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all these things beforehand. It's fascinating. Jesus, you know, he's just full disclosure, isn't he? He just wants us to understand what's happening, even if the rest of the world is clueless and just shock and awe all the time. Oh, hear about this, hear about that. You know, the Lord wants his own to be steady in him, to trust and follow him. He wants them to understand. Be on guard. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. This is now the day, judgment day. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory on the way into town. Looking at the beautiful sun peering through the clouds and these rays of light going places, all this, I said to Kate, gosh, is Jesus going to just part it and come through right now? You know, come, Lord Jesus. I mean, wouldn't it be something if the Lord just opened up the sun and said, peekaboo, I see you. Here I come, ready or not. I mean, certainly it will be an awful day, but also an awesome day. But we'll know. We've been told in advance how the story of human history is going to end and how it's going to begin forever. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and put out its leaves, you know the summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gate. Gosh, when you consider the signs of the times, when you look at what's going on, could it be today, if not today, tomorrow, this week, before the service is over? Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until these things take place. It's interesting, the term this generation is a technical term for the unbelieving world. And in the Gospels, we see this used. So there's always going to be those who reject and think this is just a lie, the truth that we have from the Savior, our Savior Jesus. But we believe. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. So, in a sense, as we begin a brand new liturgical church here, it's Advent. It's about being awake. It's understanding these truths. It's putting our heads up. Anybody play baseball? You know, when you get out on the field, it's be awake, heads up. If you don't, you'll lose your number eight tooth, like I did. So be awake. That's the theme of Advent. Be awake, because we don't know when the Lord will return. But you know, this is more than just doom and gloom. Think about it. What is he returning to do? Usher in forever. I mean, if we can embrace life and say, this is great now, we haven't seen anything yet. What will life be like? When I was a kid, and my dad would say to me before I went to school, when I get home, I'm taking you fishing. Boy, I couldn't wait, but I had to, because there were a lot of things I had to do. I had to go to school. I don't know how well I worked through school, but I was going fishing. There's plenty for us to do, to be about, before the Lord returns. But when he returns, it's going to be more than fishing. It's going to be life like we've never seen before. And he's promised to come back. And so Advent is keeping the light on, saying, come soon. I can't wait. But I know I have to until you do. So I'll be about what I can in my life as your own. In the name of Jesus.